Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
This is a word of prophecy throughout the ages to God's people. This is for you right now. I want you to listen to God's word in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. He says, "Do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold." Don't be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. What that means is that there's absolutely no reason for you to be walking around without joy in your life, because Jesus came to undo joylessness. But how many times do you kind of catch yourself wondering, why am I so unhappy? Why am I so unfulfilled? Why am I so empty of joy? It's a very common question we ask of ourselves. And sometimes we don't even say it out loud, because sometimes in the back of our mind, we pretty much think everybody else is just rocking tons of fulfillment and joy, and I'm the only one that's struggling. Go ahead and put your hand up if you've ever felt that way before. Yeah, look around, see all the hands. We're all in the boat together, you know what I'm saying? And this is a common question, because confusing things happen. Painful things show up. And so I'm not going to spend my time here today trying to convince you that your darkness isn't dark, okay? Or that your painful thing isn't painful, or that what you're going through isn't real, because it is real. What I want to show you today is actually something that Jesus came to undo, and it's actually a hope that cannot be extinguished even in the middle of the darkest of circumstances. Even when life is at its absolute worst, Nehemiah says, "Don't be worried." Another translation of that same passage says, "Do not grieve." Don't weep for it. Don't get sad. He says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold." So even when it feels like joy has left the building, even if it feels like joy never came into the building in the first place, I want you to know that Jesus came to undo that building that you've been living in. He came to undo that kingdom and to establish His joyful kingdom in our hearts right now. It's the joy of the Lord. And I actually believe this is one of those things that God wants to take us on a journey in this year as a people. I know it's been hard. I know it's difficult. I know the darkness comes. I know it's painful. But I want to take you on a journey of joy. Doesn't that sound like a breathtaking journey? I want to go on that kind of journey with Jesus. And that's what I believe that the Lord is inviting us into. And it's not like a temporary fix to our problem that we bump into every once in a while, okay? We've all had the temporary fixes. I had a minor outpatient procedure one time. I don't need to bore you with the details of what I was having done, but suffice it to say, Jen and I have four children, okay? And every time I mention that we have four children, there's always some, wise guy that comes and says, "You know what causes that, don't you?" And I always replied the same thing: "Yes, we do. We're just not willing to stop doing that anytime soon." So I had an outpatient procedure right after we became a party of six, if you know what I'm saying, if you're following me, okay? And the doctor asked me to take a little pill a couple of hours before I went into the procedure. It was this wonderful little bundle of joy he called Valium. And wow, it was great, because I was a little bit nervous going into it for obvious reasons. This is not one of those procedures that any guy wants to hear their doctor say, "Uh-oh," right? This is not one of those times. So I was a little, it was kind of calming me down. But after I took that little pill, I was in my happy place. It was great. I'm feeling no pain. I'm high-fiving the doctor. I'm glad-handing all the nurses. I'm sharing my life with everyone. Full frontal. Who cares? Right? They're like, "Welcome, everyone." And it turns out, I was texting all of my friends. I don't even remember any of this, because the wonderful pill of Valium erased all the bad memories. But I was texting people, and I had people coming to me days later going, "Dude, what happened to you? Like, you were like, I don't know, like a happy train somewhere." I'm like, "Right, it was great." But guess what? All of that was temporary. That pill wore off. And all that goodwill and all that happiness wore off as soon as the pill wore off. And in that particular case, I went right back to feeling like I'd been mugged by a drunken mule.
okay? It all wore off. I'm not talking about temporary fixes to hard things that we go through. Joy, real joy, isn't found in pills or prescriptions. It's not found on vacation. It's not found in another person. It's not found when that goal or that dream that we think will fulfill it all is accomplished. It's not in any of those things. If you're taking notes, I want to show you where real joy actually shows up. And this is actually the theology of joy from the Bible. This is what the Bible, throughout the pages of the Scripture, teach about how joy shows up for real, enduring joy. This is what the Bible teaches us. Write this down. Joy shows up, letter A, when I know that God has a plan for my life. Okay? When you get an encounter with the reality that God has a plan for you, He has a purpose for your life. I'm telling you, when you actually have an encounter with that reality, joy shows up. Okay? Even when I have a bad day, which we all have bad days, I'm not decimated by my bad day because God's got a plan for my life. When you know who you are and when you know that God's working in your life and He's got a plan, joy shows up in the midst of it. It's not the happy, clappy, you know, we just got back from Disney, you know, cruise with those like Disney characters everywhere. And if you, like, you're walking around, there's like always like flute music and people like bopping around. It's like this fairy tale existence. That's not what I'm talking about. There's not going to be any flute music in it. This is something that's deeper, that's abiding, a joy. When you know who you are, you know God's working in your life, joy shows up. It's not in your notes, but the book of Hebrews describes a deeper joy that happened in the life of Jesus. Hebrews says, for the joy set before Him, Jesus, He endured the cross. There's something about joy deep down in the inside that sustains even in the middle of a hard day. And the cross was not a good day. By any objective standard, that was hard. That was difficult. That was horrific. Yet Hebrews says there was this joy set before Jesus that enabled Him to endure whatever hardship was set before Him. And that's what the joy of the Lord does. Wouldn't you like a dose of that? Psalm 16, verse 5, the psalmist writes this. I love this passage of Scripture. He says, Lord, You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. And then this is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. He says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, that means He's guiding me through the process. He never leaves. He's right there. One of the things we say around here is that Jesus is always only a half turn away from me. He's at my right hand, guiding me through. He says, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will You let Your faithful one see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. Some of you are joyless today because you don't know the path. You've never been invited to the path. And that's what Jesus came to undo. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I am the path. He's welcoming you to the path. He says, You've made known to me the path of life. Now watch this. He says, You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. You will fill me with joy just by being in Your presence. That's why we took kind of an extended moment, just a moment of go and worship, to just fill her up. Being filled with joy in God's presence. Kay Warren, who's the wife of Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, she wrote a book not too long ago called Choose Joy. And she said it this way, I love this. She said, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control.
control of all the details of my life. Joy shows up when I know that God has a plan for my life. Here's letter B. Joy shows up when I believe that God will work it all out. See, here's the good news about God's plans. When I believe that God will work it all out, and He really will, joy shows up. The good news about God's plans is that God works them out. Okay? And this is a misconception that I think even a lot of Christians even have. Like, well, maybe even if we believe that God's got a plan, He expects me to work it out. That's not actually in the Bible. God's got plans, and He works them out. Now, does that mean that you don't have steps to take? Well, you've got steps to take. Does that mean there's no obedience required? Nope, there's obedience involved. But God, when God makes a plan, God accomplishes His plan. That's great news for you. God's plans receive God's provision. Put it another way. God never writes a check that He can't cash. God never writes a check that He can't cash. Some of you millennials are like, what's a check? Look it up on Wikipedia, okay? God never makes a plan that He doesn't back up with His provision. And joy shows up when you have an encounter with the reality that not only does God have a plan for my life, and He does, but God is going to work it all out. Come on, somebody. That's great news for someone in here. You've been stressing yourself to the max, going like, man, it's all on me. God's got it. He's working stuff out. Now, we don't always see how the plan is going to work out. In my experience, in fact, usually that level of detail is above my pay grade. Okay, I don't get the 411 on all that stuff, but God is doing stuff. He's doing stuff behind the scenes, and it is always for my good. That's something you can take to the bank on the authority of God's Word, is that God is always up to something, and it is always good. Come on, help me out. Am I right? God's always doing stuff, and it's always good. That's great news for you. God's working it out. Jen shared a brief encounter that she had with my oldest daughter, Addison, with me a couple of days ago. Our oldest daughter, Addie, if you don't know, she's 15. She has Down syndrome, and she was having this conversation, this interaction with her mom, and when Jen relayed it to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My eyes, filled with tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is intense. So I'll paraphrase. Basically, this is what happened. Addie goes to mom, and she says, Mom, I want to tell you a story. And this could go any direction, honestly. When Addie comes, I'm going to tell you a story. It could go anywhere, right? So she's like, okay, tell me the story. And she said, this is a story about a mom and a dad. And they got married. And they had wonderful times together. They laughed and went on dates. And then they had a little baby. And it was very hard for a little while. But that's why her daddy calls her Gracie Grace. Grace is her middle name. And her mom just called her Addie for short. But then, they started having wonderful adventures again together. I was like, holy smokes, that is like deep. That is profound. Right? She pretty much hit the nail on the head. I got to be honest with you. When she was born over 15 years ago, I didn't see it. And it was, she's right, it was hard. Jen didn't see it either. I don't know anybody that did. But often, it's in the not seeing part of the adventure that we experience the immeasurable joy of authentic faith. Authentic faith operates in the I don't see it yet part. But authentic faith is what produces authentic joy. Because not only does God have a plan, God's working it out. 1 Peter 1:8 says, although you have never seen Christ, you love Him. You don't see Him now, but you believe in Him. And look at this. He says, you are extremely happy with joy and praise that can hardly be expressed in words. Who's glad God's working it out? Me too. Joy shows up when I know that God has a plan for my life. When I believe that he's going to work it all out. And then guess what? Joy shows up. Let her see. When I choose to walk in joy. That's what the Bible teaches. Joy shows up when I choose to walk in joy. This is like a quick little primer on the theology of joy, if you were wondering. So what the Bible teaches, joy is a choice, believe it or not. And joy shows up when you choose to walk in it. In fact, joy, having joy, is a command in the Bible. It's not optional. It's a non-negotiable. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord all the time." And in case you just forgot the sentence I just wrote, rejoice. That's what he's saying, okay? I came across this awesome story. I had to share this with you. It's a story of an African king who always went hunting with his best friends, okay? I want you to think Black Panther, all right? Wakanda Forever, okay? It's that kind of dynamic. African king, always going hunting, Black Panther, whole nine yards. And the thing is that his hunting companion was just being incomparably joyous all the time. And no matter what happened, good or in bad, he would always say, no matter what the circumstance, this is good. Something bad kind of happened, everybody's kind of bummed out, he would be like, this is good. And something everybody else said was really, really good, and he's like, this is good. That was his response to everything. I don't know any of these people, but it sounds intriguing. This is good. Can we just say that out loud all together? Come on, one, two, three. That was the weakest this is good I've ever heard. Ready? Come on, one more time. One, two, three. It's good. All right. Well, unfortunately, one of these hunting trips didn't go so well, and the king, having misloaded his gun, at some point it misfired and went off, and he actually shot his thumb off. Very painful. Sounds painful. Blew his own thumb off. His hunting companion buddy said, this is good. Come on, I need a little interaction here, people. This is good. Wakanda Forever. Come on, man. The king got so mad that he put his friend in jail. He said, I just blew my thumb off and you're telling me this is good. It irritated him so much. He put his friend in jail. Don't judge, because if you were the king and you blew your thumb off and your friend said that, you would have done the same thing. So he puts his friend in jail. He's there for a year. Then a year later, the king's out on another hunting trip. But instead of getting anything in the hunting trip, he was actually abducted by cannibals. He's drug off to their encampment. They had him all strung up and they're getting ready to eat him. But these cannibals were a little bit kind of superstitious. They didn't eat anything that had a blemish or wasn't a completely whole person. And upon closer examination, they saw that the king had no thumb. It freaked them out. They let the king go and he went back to his own village. The king's so grateful. Man, I'm so glad those guys didn't eat me. And then he started kind of feeling bad about his buddy, his hunting companion, that he had thrown in jail for now this year. And so he goes to his friend, he lets him out of jail. Says, man, I'm so sorry for doing that to you. I should never have done that. He apologizes over and over, to which his friend responded, this is good. And the king says, why would you say this is good? I imprisoned you for a year. How on earth was that good? And he said, well, had you not thrown me into jail, I would have been with you. And I have both of my thumbs. This is good. Now, some of you guys, wait, maybe we need to practice those three little words a little bit more often in our life. This is good. Good was my word of the year this year at Christmas. Good. Now, you might think upon, like, maybe first blush, get the cute little card, and everybody's like, boop, you know, I mean, like, in their, you know, whatever, Sunday best, Christmas best. Oh, man, this would be good. There have been times over the course of this year I felt like I've blown my thumb off. Yeah, I got one thumb. I can still hitchhike. There have been good times, there have been bad times, just like your year, right? This is good doesn't mean that everything that happens to me is good. Joy isn't saying that darkness isn't dark. Joy isn't saying that painful things aren't painful. Joy isn't saying that when I'm lonely, I'm not actually lonely, and I got to go into some kind of weird mental state to sort of disassociate myself from the reality of what I'm going through. That's not real joy. Real joy is something that we choose. Real joy doesn't jump on you. You got to go jump on it. And I want to leave you here today with three ways that you can actually choose to go jump on joy this coming week. Jesus came to undo our joylessness. And here's how you walk in what he came to establish, choosing to walk in the joy of Christ. And this is straight out of Philippians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul talking about the choice to walk in joy. Now, before I read this to you, I want to give you the backstory because this is really important. This is being written by a guy who later on in Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice, okay? He's saying, rejoice. Now, some of you guys don't just need to joyce, you need to rejoice because you forgot about the joyce in the first place. Who's with me on that? Some of you guys are going to leave here today just like filled up. You're like joicing like crazy. And then 5 minutes down the road with the screaming kids, you're going to need to rejoice, okay? Like, again, that's okay. He didn't say joyce all the time. He said rejoice all the time. So we're kind of in that process where you need to rejoice. But here's what Paul shows us in Philippians 1, and this is for you. Perhaps you in your dark spot, your difficult place, okay? I want you to understand something about Paul, is that Paul wrote this from prison. He was actually in prison. More than that, he was awaiting his own execution. He was waiting to have his own head chopped off because he had been preaching the good news about Jesus. Okay? This was not in his plan. He didn't wake up in the morning, have his Wheaties, and go, you know what, I'm really looking forward to the decapitation process later today. This was not in the plan. He was going to Rome to preach a crusade. And while he was on his way, on his own little adventure, it got hard. It got really hard. And they threw him in prison. But here is kind of the definition of a hard time. What we see is a man who knows that God has a plan for him, who believes beyond believing that God's going to work it out. We see a guy here who's choosing to walk in joy. And guess what happened? Joy showed up. In fact, the book of Philippians is known in the Bible as the joy book, the book of joy. He wrote the book of joy awaiting his own execution while he was chained to his jailer. So this guy, I would consider an expert on how to walk in joy. If this dude can do it, I can do it. I still got 2 thumbs. Here's what choosing to walk in the joy of Christ actually looks like. This is what he shows us. Number one, to look beyond what happened. Look beyond what's happened. For too many of us, we're not willing to look beyond what's happened because we're too busy marinating in what has happened. We just recycle what has happened. And I stay right there. And it might have been 20 years ago, but it is as fresh and as alive and as right now as it's ever been. Because I'm steeping in it. I'm ruminating on it all the time. And Paul had it hard, but look at his perspective in chapter 1, verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now what's important here is he's not denying what had happened. Okay, there was some bad stuff in there. He just wasn't allowing that to become his destination. He's looking beyond it. That's what I want you to catch. He's saying, no, all that junk has actually served to advance the good news. Okay, God's got a plan. He's working it all out. And can I just say that prophetically over somebody that walked in here today? Like, this is like the word of the Lord for you, is that God's got a plan for you, and he's working it out. I really believe that. Somebody need to hear that one today. God's got a plan right now, and he's working it out. Choosing to walk in the joy of Christ means looking beyond what has happened. Here's number two. To step toward the new opportunity. Step toward the new opportunity. Here is his attitude. I know not everything worked out the way that I thought it was going to. I know that. But here's Paul's attitude. But you know what? It's given me some downtime. It's given me a chance to do some writing. And did you know that in the same exact prison cell, Paul went on not only to write Philippians, he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote two books of Thessalonians. He had a little downtime, and as a result, he wrote a pretty decent chunk of the New Testament that you have now. That's stepping toward a new opportunity. And in addition to that, here's the truth. Not only was Paul locked up, he was sharing the gospel with every new guard that came into his orbit. Every jailer, every guard he could get his hands on. He's saying, yes, I've been thrown in prison, but that plan, that totally backfired for God's glory. So here's what Philippians 1:13 says. He says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And look at this, verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. And they dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What's going on here is there's an opportunity in here. And that, in fact, other people around are being impacted by what's going on, all for the good. God's got a plan, and he's working it out. Do you see how this is going? And it doesn't, yes, it's difficult, and yes, it's challenging, but God's doing something in here. There's a new opportunity in there. You got to step toward it. And some of you in here have absolutely been through it. Some of you are in it right now. Some of you feel like you've been thrown in prison. Some of you feel like the chains are on right now. And I just want to encourage you from the life of Paul that the chains meant to hold you down only lifted everybody else up. Here's the truth. Your chains are not your last stop. They are your lasting legacy. Let me say that again. Your chains are not your last stop. Not in God's plan, they're not. They are your lasting legacy. Because of Paul's chains, everybody around became more confident in the Lord. Because of Paul's chains, everybody around began to proclaim even more boldly the good news about Jesus. They chained one guy, and they unleashed his legacy. Do you see that? I got to have that perspective sometimes when I go through something hard. Because I get all selfish, and I get all up in my own head. Like, whoa, woe is me. And it's all about me. Like, I'm all chained up. Come on, you guys. God's got a plan, and he's working it out. Chaining down one dude only unleashed a legacy. God was doing so much more. Paul didn't see even all of the ramifications of it all. He didn't know at that point how all of it was going to work out. But good news for you, you have a New Testament because Paul was in chains. Here's what Paul always kept front and center. It's number three. If you're going to choose to walk in joy, you got to keep the first thing, Jesus Christ, first. Verse 16, it says, I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Christ, everything that he wants to do in and through me will be done. I want you to underline that, those three little lines. It will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, he says, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. He says, alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I am his bounty. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. I can't lose. When Jesus is first, I can't lose. When Jesus is first, I can't lose. Can you just say that out loud? It'll set somebody free in here. When Jesus is first, I can't lose.
My hard times can't shut me up. It just gives me a microphone. If I live, I tell the world that Jesus saves. If I die, I show the world that Jesus saves and I live eternally with Him. Living, Jesus saves. Dying, Jesus saves. I'm keeping verse 6 first. And when Jesus is first, you cannot lose. Jesus first. Listen to me. Jesus first, people. Cannot lose. The question is, will I keep first things first? Will I be Jesus first? And this is the joy of a life with Christ. This is a joy that somebody in here today is going to experience for the very first time. I can't wait to introduce you to them. But I also know this is also a reality that somebody is going to rediscover as I rejoice. Either way, today we choose to look beyond what has happened, to step toward a new opportunity because God is up to something and is always good. Keep the first things first. Because when Jesus is first, I cannot lose. I want to invite everyone to stand to their feet just for a moment. I don't know what you came walking in the door with today. It just seems like a pretty reasonable guess that there's some pretty heavy burdens that are represented in these chairs. We have a word for that around here. We call that normal. That's everybody's going through something. And I don't know if you need a new and a fresh installment of the joy of the Lord, but my guess is you've got some heartaches and some hard things that you might like to set down in God's presence. And we're not in a hurry around here. And in fact, I decided when I began to prepare for this message, I just wanted the Lord to do whatever He wanted to do. I wanted to give Him His due time to do His work in our heart. And here in just a second, I want to give you an opportunity to bring your heartache and your hardship to Jesus this morning. It's kind of like I want to encourage you to just sort of walk up and drop it off. And we're going to spend some time and sing another song of worship. And as we do, if you'd like a joy installment, I want you to just step out from the chair that you're seated in. I want you to make your way up here. Spend the time in worship. Jen and I are going to come. We want to pray for you specifically that God would give you an encounter with Him, a fresh encounter with Him, that you would experience the reality that God has a plan for my life. He's going to work it out. And I'm going to take a step, and I am going to drop off my knee in front of Him. And I'm going to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. So would you bow your heads? Nina and Matt are going to lead us again in this song of worship we sang earlier. And as you feel comfortable, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. It's no weird stuff around here. But if you feel comfortable, just step out from the seat that you're in. Come up here, and we'd love to pray for you. And let's take our need to the Lord here today. Listen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.